2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up.
BYU battles Notre Dame in a huge showdown in Las Vegas. Catch an extended edition of the Cougar pregame show this Saturday at 3:30 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one, Clark, really good player. So we got our hands cut out for us.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Frank just put the headset on. I don't think Frank heard that. This is Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Did he say that he...
Yeah. No, let me play it for you again, just so you can hear it for yourself.
I think I heard it.
All right, here it is.
And number one, Clark, really good player. So we got our hands cut out for us. Giving them all the respect.
Got our hands cut out for us.
It's a little known phrase that means you have a difficult time ahead. When you say that, like way back when, I think the pioneers used to say that sometimes, like, yeah, we got our hands cut out for us. You know, and then that meant to the rest of the pioneers,
we're going to cut off our hands to spite our face.
Right. Like it was that kind of, it's not used very much anymore. But way back when, people said it with some regularity.
Sometimes I think Lloyd and Scotty would love to have hands cut out for them.
Yeah. I think that's what they were referring to.
Admit it.
No, that's not true. We all know where the bread is buttered on the show.
That's number one, Clark, has his hands cut out for him.
Yeah. Utah's got their hands cut out for him. For sure they do.
I know. Wait, before we get started... Can I just? I just want to make sure I understand the tenor of the show. Do we have any breaking Jazz news today? Do we have any threat of breaking Jazz news today? Yes or no?
There's always a threat.
Okay, threat level like green, yellow, orange. Red.
Orange, like the Homeland Security.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not orange.
Yellow.
I'd say we're yellow.
Yellow.
There is a shoot around going on today. And so that could, there may be some news coming out of that.
Okay,
as long as Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson remain a part of this roster, at any moment, it could be cutting in with big breaking news.
Oh, hey, no, we do have breaking news. I don't know, Lloyd, if has any breaking news. We do need a sounder.
Is this Jazz breaking news?
Malik Beasley, left ankle sprain, did not practice today. So, hands.
So
your thoughts on the loss of Malik Beasley?
You're good. Well, okay. So let me see if I have this straight. Beasley rolled his ankle. He couldn't practice today. So you're going to interview him for an hour after the shoot around.
Jazz insider Ben Anderson joining us now to talk about Malik Beasley. So Ben,
all of my Utah fans out there listening, would you help me out here? This is how this goes. And this is a really big game this weekend. By the way, this game, a week ago, I thought this game was like, okay, this is, you just mark it up. Utah's going to go down
before USC.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then, I want to know what you guys think. Did Washington completely lay an egg, or was UCLA that good?
UCLA took it. UCLA went and took that game at their stadium. They went to Washington and took it in that stadium. And that stadium was a pretty incredible place. I just watched the game today, going through it again, and it was an incredible atmosphere. Well, Washington grabbed some early momentum, but they couldn't keep UCLA out of the red zone. UCLA, I think it was their first eight offensive drives, got into the red zone with scores. And there was nothing Washington could do. UCLA went and took it.
I don't get it because
I will tell you that Washington threw two picks, but both of those picks were taken by UCLA. One of them was an ill-advised pass from, is it Penix?
Penix.
Yes.
One of them was an ill-advised pass from Penix, but both of them were really nice breaks and plays by that UCLA defense.
Were you really uncertain of the quarterback from Washington's last name?
Yeah, no, I can't remember how it goes. If it's Penix Jr., am I supposed to put the Jr. on it?
I don't.
Oh.
Unless is his dad playing? No. It's just Penix.
Do you say Phillips the third? Do you say Clark Phillips III?
I do not.
That guy has his hands full this weekend.
Well, let's hope those hands don't get cut off.
Oh, man, so they went and took it.
I don't get it because Chip Kelly seems like half the time he seems uninterested. I mean, that's his persona. It's like he's kind of uninterested.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making that up?
That's just his personality, but yeah.
But it feels like he's got this team interested, and it feels like he's interested now.
And then Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I've never been, like, nothing against him personally. I just have never been high on him as an elite-level quarterback. I think he has elite-level talent, but I don't always see him put all of that talent together. And all of a sudden, against Washington, it was like he made plays and he made throws that were
awesome.
Elite. Yeah.
Awesome.
And he was very, it seemed like he was very in control of what was happening throughout the game. And I think that's been like a downside of his, is he doesn't use his elite talent wisely mm-hmm. all the time. And he feels like maybe the moment sometimes is, I don't know if it's getting to him or if he loses focus or what. Whatever it was, everything aligned. Chip Kelly was engaged, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson got everything out of his talent.
Did you see this that I tweeted out?
Yes.
He makes a move at the goal line.
Yeah.
I put out a couple of different UCLA films. He makes a move at the goal line. And essentially makes two defenders run head-on, cracked into each other. I think one of them left the game for a period of time.
Well,
and
it was
then
not
walked
injury.
Into the end zone.
It was not injury. It was embarrassment.
It was probably embarrassment because he just made a simple stop move and then walked into the end zone while two defenders cracked each other.
Yeah, that's him at his best.
That game has slowed way down for him. Go ahead.
You guys ever do that? When you screw up on the field, you're like, oh, my hamstring.
Oh, yeah.
Something bad happened.
You know that. Yeah. It's been recorded. 79.2% of all injuries that happen on a football field are related to some sort of embarrassing event.
That's science.
That's science.
Proven. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So, number four in the country right now in passing percentage. He's at 74.3% completion rate. He's completing 74% of his passes.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 11 touchdowns to one interception through five games.
11 touchdowns
to one interception.
One interception.
And he's got 242 yards per game because he's got a run game that really complements
passing
game.
That's the spread option. That's Chip Kelly's offense. That's exactly how it should work. I would be very curious to see Chip Kelly's quarterbacks at Oregon and if their numbers were on par with these numbers. Like, you know, is that kind of the standard for when his offense is working well? I would assume that's how it's supposed to work.
Well, yeah, because you go back to what Scotty was talking about yesterday with the passing percentages. It's not just about that, but it's about yards per completion. And his yards per completion are high. I mean, it's like 8.5 or something like that.
That's okay. So
do you have that stat, Scotty?
That's a perfect lead-in because Cam Rising a week ago I was tracking his numbers the whole game. And when Cam Rising is really good, then he's around that 70% completion percentage. He's 200-plus yards passing, and his yards per catch are like not – is it per catch or per pass?
Per attempt.
Per attempt are like around 8.5 yards.
8.3.
So
for Cam or Dorian?
No, I was saying when Cam is good,
yeah.
When Cam is good, that's what his numbers look like. That is exactly what DTR's numbers are looking like.
So it means 70%. It means that offense is just churning.
That's how that offense should run. That's right.
Okay, so a couple of other things and just observations from the UCLA Washington film review this morning. He doesn't get pressured. He doesn't get sacked, and he doesn't get pressured. He is sitting comfortably. Now, the ball is gone quick often, but there are times where he's sitting in a three or a hesitant three with about a count and a half to two count. He's just not getting pressured. Right now, this UCLA offensive front has only allowed four sacks through the year, which puts them 13th in the country in allowing sacks. They don't allow sacks. And he doesn't get pressured. You don't see a lot of hands in his face. You don't see him getting hit a lot. You don't see him having to scramble in the pocket a lot. Now, given this was the Washington game, but you would have thought Washington's defensive front could get after him a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe Washington's defense.
Well, I mean, that offensive line has been great all season.
Yeah.
And they're big. They're very un-UCLA-like. They're big, they're powerful, and they're nasty. I mean, they're getting after it.
Wait. If that is un-UCLA-like, what is UCLA-like
for an offensive line? Soft. Easy to dominate physically.
Concerned about the upcoming
apologetic
astronomy quiz.
I don't know. Sure.
Okay. They're nerds. Probably more like astrology.
Are there nerds at UCLA?
Astrology at UCLA. Are there nerds at UCLA? Oh my gosh. Have you ever walked across that campus?
Never. I mean, no, I've walked across it once, but
yeah. By the way, if you can't recruit at UCLA, then you're a complete dope.
Thank you.
Like, you walk across that campus, it's like, yeah, sign me up. Where do I sign? Anyway.
It's just gorgeous, huh?
And it's in a great location. You park close to the beach.
You park at a golf course to go into the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. It's the wine and cheese affair. I mean, it's
quite the opposite from USC, right? I mean, USC's campus is awesome, but USC's campus, football experience.
If you travel approximately one block the wrong way from the Coliseum, then I wouldn't call that the wine and cheese route.
Yeah.
The box wine and no cheese?
Different. Oh, there's cheese. There's some cheese.
There is. That's not the kind you're excited
there's some
to
cheese.
Eat. Hey, so I can't talk enough about Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I can't say enough. Nobody can. Like, he is everything that UCLA is doing, it is through him. His confidence, his poise, and his timing. It's unbelievable. His timing right now on his throws into routes, it's so mature. So what is this, his sixth year in college football? Is this his sixth year? I think it's a sixth year.
Yeah,
now?
He went because he did the mission and then...
No, I didn't leave him without the mission. He's got a red shirt in the COVID year.
One, two, three, four. This is his fifth year.
Fifth year. Yeah. Wait, no. Here's the issue with him. He's a fifth-year starter. That's the interesting thing about him. He's a fifth-year starter.
That's unbelievable.
So here is, like, and not to take away anything from DTR, I've not been a huge fan of his. Again, not like as a person, but just his talent, the way he utilizes talent. And not to take anything away from him now, but I'm curious about the thing that you mentioned. Because there's, you know, quarterback's best friend is a great running game. And the next thing a quarterback has to have is time to operate. Mm-hmm. And so there's another reason why he's having a lot of success. Lack of pressure that you mentioned. So I'm curious to see how he responds if and when a team, maybe this weekend, can supply some of that pressure. And I think that's part of the issue, is that you have to be able to make him uncomfortable.
How comfortable are you that Utah can get pressure on?
Well, in a perfect world, Utah can apply pressure because they're athletic enough and the scheme is right. And I like Utah's back end. Like, I think they can cover up. You did another video on one of their guys. Is it Coda? Who I think is very, very good.
Wide receiver?
Yeah.
Bobo,
yeah.
Coda, so, Bobo.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Utah has their hands cut off.
Well, I was going to say, just watching the spread attack, how much heat can you bring in a spread attack like that?
How much pressure can you bring?
Yeah, how much?
Well, how much do you trust? So the thing with me is, like, I think we can match up on the back end. I still have concern at the second level of that defense. Like, there's
talking about the linebackers.
Yeah, yeah. That was a group that kind of erased issues last year. And I don't think I like this. Like I think those are good guys, but I don't think they erase issues. And
eventually they might be able to, but, you know,
yeah.
Lander Barton's a freshman.
That's right. But
Brady
if you
Reed's
have,
just in his second year.
Yeah.
If you have, let's just say, DTR drops back, everything's covered downfield, he starts to scramble around, is that linebacker group good enough to limit his pro? Yeah, that's what I think too. Hands is shaking his head no. That's what I was responding to.
Is the thought of Anthony Richardson dancing in your head when you're talking about that going into this game?
Yeah. I think they've improved since that game. But I also think that DTR is a more complete quarterback.
I do too. That's why I'm concerned about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that is a concern. And I'm very interested to see. I just don't think you can, with UCLA's talent on the offensive side, with their ability to run the ball, with a good offensive line, quarterback playing at an elite level, I don't think you can say, well, we're just going to lay back and try and keep everything in front of us. I think that just is a recipe for disaster. Like, all you're going to do is give up 12 play scoring drives eventually.
Yeah.
You know, the bend don't break. And Utah's been really good at that. I think you're going to have to figure out ways to apply pressure to the quarterback.
Which has not happened yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't got the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado wasn't going to put it on him. Neither of the Alabama directionals are going to put it on him. Bowling Green wasn't going to put it on him. I thought Washington could, but when I went and watched the film, I thought, how are these guys getting hemmed up the way they're getting hemmed up? They're not getting any push. There was no one-on-one pressure. Very, very little. And when there was, Dorian would take a half step back in the pocket and fling it.
So, you know, it's interesting we're talking about the quarterback position because he's been good. He's been really good. But the other thing you have to be concerned about with UCLA is their efficiency running the football.
Yeah.
And
that's a problem.
In the Pac-12, there's only one team there's only one team above UCLA in rush attempts on the year. That's Utah. Mm-hmm. And UCLA's averaging over 5.5 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
So
213 yards per game. And this offense puts up 506 yards per game offensively.
Because they've
got a run game that complements Dorian.
Yep.
And Dorian that complements the run game. It's a very complete offense when you watch it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that number 9 that you're talking about, Jake Bobo, who is built like a tight end at 6'5", 215 pounds, but runs routes like a receiver, like a true cut receiver. And I think he's got to be a 4 or 5 year guy. I don't know how many years he's been around, but he's had to have been around for a long time.
Is he UCLA's Brant Keithy?
He's so much different than Brant. He runs it's a different route. Chris Keithy was a little bit more speed in the route. Bobo's just a little bit more purpose. He does things with his body and his head and his misdirection in the route that causes problems. And then he just uses that 6'5" body to go up and get the ball. And now that Dorian's putting it on the money, it's hard. You know, I don't know if you threw to many 6'5 receivers, but I think about trying to defend a 6'5 receiver that's really good, deceptive at running routes, that hides his routes and breaks into them clean, and then a quarterback that puts it where it's supposed to be. As a defender, I feel pretty helpless. But the way Bobo runs, the way he runs routes, it feels like him and Dorian have been together forever. The way they're hitting things. Mm-hmm. Their chemistry against Washington, and maybe it wasn't as much against Colorado, but I think it probably was. I haven't looked at that game. But their quarterback to receiver ratio was kind of a Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski kind of ratio. That's how it feels, the way that he uses Bobo. And Bobo's really good, man.
Number 9 in the league in receiving yards per game is Jake Bobo, 72 yards per game. There's not a Utah receiver on that list in the top 10. But Bobo doesn't fit in the receptions per game top 10 either, which I think is kind of interesting.
But when you're running the ball the way UCLA is, and
you're exactly right,
you don't need to lean on anybody in particular.
No,
but the threat of him is through the roof.
It's through the roof.
This is defensively for Utah this week, in a very difficult task. Mm-hmm.
The more we talk about this, and the more UCLA I watch, and Hand's film breakdown, I thought was incredible. The more you cited the holy smokes, this could be a real big problem.
So how do you explain 32-31
South Alabama?
That's South Alabama.
Yeah,
didn't watch it. Don't know.
South Alabama looked like Alabama in that game.
I really don't know, but I do remember coming out of that weekend. We had you on that following preview doing the Pac-12 shakedown, and we thought UCLA was hollow.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, we're looking at their pre-conference schedule, Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, and then they throw that stinker up against South Alabama, finally figure out a way to win. How do you tell anything against Colorado? Colorado is awful.
So
in their 5 wins, do they have one quality win? They have one quality win.
With Washington.
Washington, yes.
You've got to give that quality, right?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's at Washington, and that's tough environment.
So that's what I was asking. Because Washington has been pretty good, and Penix has been pretty good. They just got freight trained in that game.
What was it, 32-16 or something like that in the third? Or maybe it was even more.
Now, Penix did throw a couple interceptions in that game. He ended up throwing 4 touchdowns in the game. He did end up starting that game with a couple of interceptions, and we know the turnovers are deadly. So that's also something to consider, but... Yeah, like I said, several weeks ago, I thought, well, just mark this as a win for Utah. And now, after 1 week, the way they managed Washington, that becomes a critical contest for Utah.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Giving away Utah tickets, all you have to do is come by, put your name in the hopper, just scan the QR code and put your name in, and you're good to go. Also, we're giving away Jazz gear. We've got all kinds of goodies to give away, and Infinity is blowing it up, too, with all kinds of great savings on these Infinities, price to move, end-of-year opportunities, and the forever warranty. Low interest rates, they've got Infinities in stock. Great selection of used inventory. It's all right here at Tim Daly Infinity. It's your U Preview Show. We continue on next right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes hit the road to Pasadena for a showdown against Chip Kelly and UCLA in the Rose Bowl. Listen all week long for the best coverage of Ute football. Then catch the Ute pregame show presented by Zions Bank this Saturday, with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up!
The Aggies welcome the Air Force Academy to Logan for a key Mountain West Conference battle. Catch all the play-by-play action this Saturday, beginning with the Aggie pregame show on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Frank Dolce is hanging out with us. It's your Ute preview show. Frank over there enjoying
it. Raising my scotcheroo.
Your scotcheroo.
To the sky. Hans, there's something wrong with Hans. Like, your lovely spouse.
Yes.
Graced us with her presence.
Yep.
And she brought us these unbelievable scotcheroos. She told Hans the name 17 times. And he insists on calling us Scotchman.
See, little known fact about Hans, if he knows he's doing something that will annoy you, he's going to continue to do it.
That is not true.
I should have picked up on that. Because he looked up at her and he was like, Scotchman? That's so childish.
It's not true. It's a simple mistake. I grew up calling them a Scotchman. Much like I grew up calling potato wedges JoJo's. So,
have you ever heard of that? Those potato wedges called JoJo's?
I only know the Trader Joe's JoJo's. They're like Oreo potatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. JoJo was always a potato wedge to me.
I thought JoJo was a baby kangaroo.
So what's a...
Or is that a Joey?
What's a Scotcheroo to you is a Scotchman to me. And we'll just agree to disagree.
Potato,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Scotcheroo, Scotchman.
Scotchman. You'd probably like to put a kilt around your Scotcheroo. Scotsman.
What?
You said Scotsman, right? Did he call it a Scotsman? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway. We're excited to have them. Very delicious. I'm going to walk like this if you get in front
of me. This has become the best segment of the day.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you very much for coming by.
We will enjoy them.
why are you guys going to make everything so awkward?
Well, it started with the Scotchman over here.
Or did it start with the 30-second hug?
Yeah, you did hug my wife for like 35 seconds.
I felt like we bonded. I mean, I felt a connection with her immediately.
Well... it looked like it.
The only time I've seen a more awkward hug was when, remember when we were up in Logan and Matt Wells' wife came by and Ron McBride hugged her and then continued to hug her. And,
yeah. Went right through the segment.
Who was he hugging?
Matt Wells' wife.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
She did bring cookies, though.
She did.
Not
Scotcheroos, though.
Maybe he was given a hug for the cookies.
Not a Scotchman.
Could be the case.
All right. So... You look at this University of Utah team as they square off in what should be a really, really fun game against UCLA in the Rose Bowl with so much on the line.
Yeah.
And honestly, UCLA coming in with, look, they're undefeated. They're feeling pretty good about things. You get a little momentum. Even if you're playing not great teams, there's a lot of stuff you can build on there. And so I think they're coming in feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah.
Well, and they're feeling very good about themselves. And if you've watched some film on Utah, especially on the offensive side, I'm curious. I'm gonna throw that out for you two guys. If you've watched some film on Utah offensively to this point in the season,
pre-Keithy or post-Keithy? Because I think we've got two different eras.
You do? Well, there's only one post-Keithy
in this single season.
There's only one post-Keithy,
and it went really well. What?
Last week?
Yeah.
You didn't think they were good offensively last week?
Did you think they were good offensively?
I thought they were.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I thought they moved pretty well. No. Well,
your disapproving look.
There were.
It's like a teacher that, like, I think it's the Pythagorean theorem.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the Kansas City Chiefs, but I felt like they moved the ball pretty well.
I don't think Utah can live and die with a passing game, and I have some concerns about
the running game.
Utah's ability to run the ball. And I think that now that could be that Oregon State said, like we said, well, you know what, we're going to stop the run, and then you are going to have to throw the ball to beat us. And Oregon State has that ability to make people look bad in the run game. It could be that.
So,
or it could be something else that we don't understand in the program right now.
Who do you assign blame to? Offensive line or running backs?
Well,
or play calling.
The truth is it's some combination of those things. But if I had to rank it, I would say it's running back, offensive line, play calling.
All right. Because Tavian's already got a body of work.
Yeah.
Of what he can do.
Yeah. But that may be having too, my expectations of the running back group may be too high. Like maybe that group, like maybe the talent level I think they have isn't the actual talent level that exists. So I may have, my expectations may be too much. By the way, in the history of Utah football with Coach Whittingham as the head coach, we've seen running backs face 7 and 8 man tackle boxes on the defensive side, geared to just stop the run.
Yeah.
We saw, how many times did we see Zach Moss line up against that?
Yeah.
Break a tackle at the line of scrimmage and still run for 15 yards.
Often.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah. It's not like we haven't seen this before. I am super hopeful that there's just kind of a blip in Tavian Thomas's life right now that has him a little unfocused.
There is some personal issues that he's going through.
That's what it feels like. It feels like he can't focus completely. And when he's on his game, he rarely gets stopped at the line of scrimmage. He's very good between the tackles. He's not going to break away and run for 70 yards, but he'll break some nice runs. I don't think the other running backs, although quality running backs, have the same ability to do things that Tavian Thomas does. But it feels like there's something holding him back right now.
So one of my biggest fears for Cam Rising right now is that he's going to get into the I have to do it all myself mentality. And I've been there on the defensive side of the ball. I've been there where, you know, as a defense, you're like, well, we're just going to have to do it because our offense can't. So we're going to have to keep them 0 points so we can win 3-0 because we can't get a, you know, and you get this tunneled down focus of I have to do it all. And to your point, there were some things that I liked offensively. I thought that the receivers showed up more. I thought Cam Rising was pretty accurate when he needed to be. I thought that there were some good things that way. But I do feel like against Oregon State, if Cam Rising didn't do it, nobody else was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably felt that, too, a little bit at the end of that Florida game, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, he forced a couple.
Yeah.
One, turned out okay. The other one obviously did not.
Does that happen to a quarterback where they'll get into that zoned in, this is, I have to do it mentality, and you don't feel confident in a 4th and 2 dropping it over the top, so you tuck it and run?
Yeah.
You know, all these little things. That
yes,
you,
that happens. That does
happen. Because Tyler Huntley, remember when Huntley would slip out of the team mentality into the I got to do it myself mentality?
That typically happened with 14:52 remaining in the first quarter.
until his season when he started using his teammates.
Until that one miraculous season.
But then remember, it kind of slipped back into the Tyler Huntley show.
Yeah.
And it.
Yeah, you do have that. There's lots of guys that have that happen. And the best guys who do that become hyper-focused in that scenario. And so you may have a guy, say, a quarterback, say, well, I have to put it all on my shoulders. And that may be true. But that doesn't then lead to, I mean, it goes one of two ways. It either leads to heroics. Those are, you know, the all pros, Hall of Famers. Or it leads to disaster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are the guys that have all the talent in the world. One guy comes to mind, I'm not going to name him, but, and then it never goes anywhere past college, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think maybe Cam Rising is falling into that. Well, there's all of this expectation on me. I have to make this happen. I'm the linchpin. I'm going to make the offense go. But I think he has the mentality. I'm hoping he has the mentality to trend toward the other side. Like, okay, now I'm hyper focused. So everybody is relying on me. So that means my reads are that much better and they're that much quicker. And I'm going to make decisions better than I did. Like everything becomes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, improved.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, and I could see that from Cam. I just remember watching that run up the sideline against Oregon State and twisting and turning and dodging and breaking tackles and reaching and extending. And then exposing himself to injury.
Yeah.
The way Frank Dolce did it back in the day.
I did that.
Stiff-arming dudes.
I was like a stiff-arm machine.
Did you like to scramble? Did you like getting out of the pocket?
Yes, I loved it until one fateful night at UTEP when I thought I was Barry Sanders and I was more like Ernest Tubb and
more like Pork Chop Womack
and broke my own ankle. I was going to break the dude down, and I broke my own ankle.
Wait a minute, you broke your own ankle?
I was making a cut. I was like...
And that old nasty... probably that old nasty turf.
That was the problem. No, old nasty turf. It was literally concrete with a...
You played on it too.
With a thin layer of carpet.
It's the worst carpet you'd have.
Oh, my gosh. We were wearing... So it rained a little bit that day. And so the training staff had us put on our little nubby cleats, the turf cleats. Well, the field had kind of dried out by then, so I'm just running down. I'm going to make a cut. That foot stuck right into that turf, and broke. Snap. That was it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that worries me about Cam Rising, because when I watched that run against Oregon State, I thought, that's unbelievable. Heart, determination, and that is unbelievably stupid. Don't put yourself in that position, because... Utah loses Cam, they lose the season. He is the heart of that offense.
I don't know what to think about that. I don't know if...
But that's what I'm saying. So, does he feel like he has to do it? Because if he doesn't do that, then they don't got a chance. So now, instead of being smart and stepping out of bounds, it's like, I've got to die to get this. And then you put yourself in some position and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I think he needs to find himself an opportunity to avoid contact and still be productive with his leg, because he's so dangerous with his legs. So he has to. There's some combination there of productivity and safety, and maybe he went too far in that one. I'm sure that everybody's talking to him about it, but you can't take it away. I mean, you just can't take that away from him, and you don't want him to be tepid about running the football. Mm-hmm. You want him to run the ball with full confidence.
Yeah.
That's when he's really good. That's when he keeps a defense off balance.
All right, Hans and Scotty with Frank Dolce. It's your Ute preview show coming up a little bit later on. We're going to have your Pac-12 shakedown where we'll talk about some of the other games going on around the Pac-12 and what the season's starting to shake up like with USC coming to town next week. Two big, big weeks right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's game week for the Cougars, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff. The long-awaited showdown against Notre Dame is finally here as the Cougars head to Las Vegas for a battle against the Irish. Catch an extended edition of the Cougar Preview Show this Saturday at 3:30, presented by Five Star Painting, with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone.
Turn it up!
The Utes square off against UCLA in a massive Pac-12 showdown this Saturday at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Your home for the best coverage of Ute football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hi. You're listening to Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
.975 the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, but let's be honest, you're all here for Frank Dolce.
You know what we should do?
That's the milkshake that brings all the boys to the yard.
Hey, were you going to say this too? Were you going to say, hey, Lloyd, can you play that bite from DTR again?
Actually, I was going to come in with some breaking NBA news. Scotty, I don't know how much time we want to go with this, but...
Zero.
Probably
might,
a lot.
The might
answer
be something
is
we need to get Ben Anderson on. Scoot Henderson has left the exhibition game after a collision with Victor Wembanyama. The video review shows a pretty nasty knee-to-knee bump.
Yeah.
And Scoot has now left the court.
Do you know what I was thinking? That, like, we do this show, and people are out there listening. And you guys are active on social media. We should take a selfie while we're doing the show and post it on social media. Because people would probably like to see, you know, what's happening.
Don't think anybody wants to see that.
You don't?
No.
I think lots of people think that people want to see their selfies, but I think people would really be interested in this one. Lloyd, can we get you to chime in on that?
Hey, Lloyd, so have you heard an update on Scoot Henderson? Is he planning on getting back here soon?
I'm waiting for another report, but it's not looking good.
If you hear something, though, feel free to just break right in.
I will break in with it.
We should scoot along into the Ute preview show.
Do you think Wembanyama did it on purpose?
Ben Anderson, our NBA insider, joining us now. Ben, is this a situation where Scoot is now out of the top two draft pick conversation?
Well, let me tell you, Hans, I don't really care that much about Scoot, but Utah has an enormous game this weekend against the Bruins of UCLA.
Hey, if you don't get back to some Ute coverage, Frank is going to cut off both of his hands.
He's got his hands really cut out for us.
I got my hands cut out.
Good player. So we got our hands cut out for us.
Yeah. I love how he talked about Clark. How good was Clark in that game against Oregon State?
I don't know. Three picks. He should have had four.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's interceptions, and then there's, I'm going to go get the interception. Like, there's some, you get a tip ball, lands into your hands. Okay, that's cool. You get an interception. But there's reading a route, undercutting it, driving through the route,
and on a single man coverage.
Now that's an interception right there. I'm just going to take it away from you. I've watched enough film. I know what you're doing. As soon as you make that break, I'm cutting right underneath it, and I'm going to take it right to the house.
In your football careers, have you guys had interceptions? Did you have an interception?
No. I think that's us trying to – you want us to ask you if you've had interceptions.
Well, you need – I mean, you don't really need to ask.
Have you thrown an interception?
I'll tell you this about interceptions. Receiving an interception outweighs the disappointment of throwing an interception. Like, it's so a spectacular, yeah.
The joy of pulling down an interception is much grander than the failure and disappointment
right.
of throwing.
Much grander, maybe slightly aggressive, but grander, yes.
Clark Phillips, what a ball player.
So
he's gotten every major award you can get. I keep getting these.
Outside at number one in the 1660. But.
How'd you vote on that one, Frank?
I don't think
for,
I got.
For number one?
Yeah.
Well, that was easy. It was I didn't get invited this year, so I did my own. And
I've invited you every year, and you never respond to it.
That's not true. Now, Scotty, let's have an honest conversation right here.
Yeah.
The last time you called me to do it, which was probably last year, it went something like this. It was probably a little late in the day with regard to submitting something. And so you generously said, hey, we're going to put you in the 60 for 60. You don't have to do anything. I'm just going to, I'll do it for you.
That's not true.
And here's what I said back. That's true. I said, that's great. I just have one suggestion. My 1 through 60 are all from Utah, with the exception of maybe a couple of Utah State players in there.
And that's why I'm like, and we won't be using Frank.
Not a single BYU guy? Not even Jaren? None.
I thought it was teams in the state, 60 and 60 in Utah. Football teams, I mean.
Yeah, nope. Why do you do this? You just come in and just start dropping bombs everywhere.
Looks like we got an update on Wembanyama. So
how's his health after
looks
all
like
this?
Looks like Scoot is going to be returning.
Hey, I have a question.
Honestly, but when you're a quarterback and you, I mean, is Clark Phillips to the point where you're like, I'm not even going to look to that side of the field? I mean,
like Deion Sanders territory?
Yeah, well, not at the collegiate level.
Oh, man.
But
well, Deion Sanders at the collegiate level? Okay, Deion Sanders was better in college than he was in the pros.
I'm not saying that Clark Phillips is Deion Sanders. I'm just saying
that's an enormous comparison to me.
How much does that affect your decision-making process?
That is unbelievable. Are you on board with that? That Clark Phillips III is the same as Deion Sanders? Because I think he's really good.
All right. Is he, Frank?
I don't think he's quite Deion Sanders.
I would agree with you on that.
Okay. But
now,
he's very good.
No.
I'll tell you why you can't. Okay. Here's when you look away from Clark Phillips III. If he's lining up straight, if he's just like, you know, if your best receiver is split wide to the right, and Clark Phillips is guarding some other knucklehead on the left, then you go through your progression. You're like, wait a second. I'm just going to, you know, I'll trend over here and we'll just. But if your best receiver is lined up against Clark Phillips, then, like, what do you do? Do you look away from him because he's lined up against your best receiver? I think it's situational. So he has the ability to make you think about going to his side. But the other thing about that is Utah is going to find ways to match him up with the best guy. So maybe against a USC you don't have that opportunity because they have a few really good guys. But maybe with UCLA you say, well, no, we're just going to – this is the matchup.
How does he match
we have to create this
up, how does he match up with a 6'5", 213-pound?
Who else would you put on him? Who else would you put on him? You can't put a linebacker on him.
No,
there's no way you can put a linebacker on him.
It's Clark Phillips.
Yeah.
If I'm an NFL scout, I definitely want to see that.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to see that.
I want to see how Clark Phillips handles that.
Those body comparisons and how aggressive and physical Clark can be with that big – number 9, Jake Bobo. Because it was obvious in that Washington game on quick slants, double moves, anything, you know that Dorian Thompson-Robinson is looking for number nine because he feels comfortable throwing to a spot where the corner or whoever's covering cannot get to it.
Okay, so this is my exact point about that. Now, let's say that Dorian Thompson-Robinson walks up to the line of scrimmage and they have this play designed and the initial read is to Bobo. And Clark Phillips is lined up on Bobo. Do you tell DTR, okay, don't look at him. Just go to your other.
No,
just go to your other reads.
No, that's a really good point because I don't know exactly what Clark does in that coverage. Clark could be walked up and he could bail out into a third, or he could do 100 different things, and I could have a route designed to, you know, not technically pick Clark, but somehow bump him off of his coverage. No, you don't just automatically go away from it. Based off of your play and what you've seen on film where he disguises something or walks up and, oh, I actually think he's dropping into that deep third or whatever you see on film, no, you don't just say, oh, he's going to win this one-on-one and Bobo's not going to be open. No.
So and that's a situation where Clark Phillips is matched up.
But you tell me you're the quarterback.
On Bobo.
You're the quarterback. Do you look away from it?
No. I say, my guy's better than your guy. Like that, Jake Bobo is better, if I'm the quarterback, saying that.
He's going to get open on this route.
So one-on-one coverage, I don't think that they're going to look away from Clark Phillips. But he'll make you think about it, for sure.
Clark Phillips in man coverage had three picks.
Yep.
He made it really, it was a bad day for, was it Nolan?
Yeah, so, Chance Nolan and then the backup.
Made it a really bad day for those guys.
So is Utah going to match up one-on-one with Clark Phillips, or are they going to combo Bobo somehow? They're going to get a linebacker underneath. They're going to get a safety over the top. And I don't even know. How do you feel about Cole Bishop running alongside of Bobo? Bobo has Cole Bishop by, 3 inches and probably 10 pounds?
Yeah.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would definitely work Clark Phillips on him, but I would also make sure that I've got a little bit of extra coverage on top of it.
But
he's really tough to bring down. That's what he did really well against Washington. By the way, we all might be giving Bobo more credit than
for
he
sure.
deserves.
That's
really we might be.
I mean, I think
he just looked really good against Washington with extra yards after the catch and fighting into quick slants and hit everything that was thrown his way stuck right to his fingers. He didn't drop anything.
Yep. Just, we may be.
I mean, I think next week when he goes up against Jordan Addison, that's probably a better comparison.
Yeah.
I'm not a comparison, but a better challenge.
Yeah. I think so, too. The issue with trying to combo, like we're just talking about Utah potentially pressuring DTR. Well, you're going to have to find yourself. You're not going to be able to combo Bobo all the time. You're going to have to figure out situations where he's lined up. That's the risk you take. He's lined up man-to-man. You're going to pressure the quarterback, and you're just hoping that your pressure gets there before DTR can make an accurate, comfortable throw in that direction.
All right, 203, Hans and Scotty live here at Tim Daly Infinity, kicking off the final hour of the show. Next, you want these Infinities. It's the only place in the state of Utah you can buy a brand new Infinity. It's Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street. The Forever Warranty is ready to go on all these new vehicles and about 90% of their used inventory, too. Whatever you're looking for, they'll find it for you. And if you're trying to avoid the pump, they even have a good used selection of electric vehicles as well. So whatever direction you want to go, it's right here at Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.